and she saw another thing. Outside the barrel of the tower, at what might have been 50-foot intervals, were balconies, encircled with waist-high wrought iron railings. On the second of these was a blob of red and three tiny blobs of white. A face that was too small to see, and a pair of upraised hands.
"Is that the Crimson King?"
she asked, pointing. She didn't quite dare put the tip of her finger on the glass over that tiny figure. It was as if she expected it to come to life and snatch her into the picture.
"Yes," Roland said, locked out of the only thing he ever wanted.
"Then maybe we could go right up the stairs and past him. Give him the old raspberry on the way by."
And when Roland looked puzzled at that, she put her tongue between her lips and demonstrated. This time the gunslinger's smile was faint and distracted.
"I don't think it'll be so easy," he said.
Susanna sighed.
"Actually, I don't either."
They had what they'd come for. Quite a bit more, in fact. But they still found it hard to leave Sayre's office. The picture held them. Susanna asked Roland if he didn't want to take it along. Certainly it would be simple enough to cut it out of the frame with the letter opener on Sayre's desk and roll it up. Roland considered the idea, then shook his head. There was a kind of malevolent life in it that might attract the wrong sort of attention, like moth to a bright light. And even if that were not the case, he had an idea that both of them might spend too much time looking at it. The picture might distract them, or, even worse, hypnotize them.
"In the end, maybe it's just another mind trap," he thought, "like insomnia." "We'll leave it," he said. "Soon enough, in months, maybe even weeks, we'll have the real thing to look at."
"Do you say so?" she asked faintly. "Roland, do you really say so?"
"I do."